Good morning. Today, two strands of thought come together. In our thinking about the five marks of mission, tell, teach, tend, transform, we're looking at the word treasure. While in our thanksgiving to Almighty God, we're looking at the harvest of what we have treasured this year and over the years. In our country parishes, probably like me, you have treasured memories of harvest. As soon as I saw the psalm was number 65, I was immediately back in Crockerford Mission, an outreach of Ardley Parish in my childhood. We knew the Anglican chant of just one psalm, and it was number 65. From my early years, I lived with the imagery of the drenched furrows, the carts taking the crops home, the meadows covered with sheep, and the valleys shouting for joy at the abundance of crops. Notice that David attributes all this abundance and joy to God. Our harvest service was so popular that on one occasion, the choir arrived last and had to sing from outside the door until room was made for them. What a wonderful abundance of crops and people that day. So why was harvest so popular then? I think it was because nearly everyone present knew the hard work involved. I have treasured memories of the old binder cutting the corn and the men having to take the sheaves and stack them together to dry before carting them to the stackyard, where they would later be put on the elevator of the threshing machine so that the corn could be collected and the straw made into stacks for animals and their bedding. I've seen the weariness and the wounds, and finally the relief and thanksgiving that yet again there was a rich harvest. I've other treasured memories. These are from Penalonga, where I was teaching on an Anglican mission. One day I was stopped in my tracks as I watched the primary school children running to school. What caught my attention was their stick-like, skinny legs. How could children so malnourished run like that? What were their hopes and expectations of education and the improvement in life chances a good education could bring? I wonder what was the harvest of their lives. Another day I was told to think carefully before saying yes to a cup of tea when offered one by Mrs. Rondesai. As if it is accepted, she was set off with an axe to cut the wood, to make the fire, to boil the water, and to make bush tea, which is tea made with water, which has not quite reached boiling point. I share these memories so that we will never forget that for many the harvest is precarious and toiled for, with no machinery or amenities we take for granted. For others, there is such a small harvest that starvation is an ever-present fact, and the children are sickly. God's mission at harvest is that we share what we have with others, whether those near or those far away. It always pleases me that Ardley gave the harvest produce one year to a little group of about four or five Orthodox Christians seeking a home in Essex. In doing that, we were part of the planting of something much bigger. The old dilapidated rectory of the 1950s is now surrounded by other buildings and part of a thriving community of monks and nuns who offer continual prayer and open hospitality. What a harvest we shared in. What a harvest has been reaped by that small act of kindness. Today, we have opportunity to share our abundance locally through our produce and flowers, but also on a much wider scale with our financial giving to groups like Tear Fund or Tools with a Mission. We can also give encouragement by our buying at our church stalls and with fair trade in mind. Who knows what seeds of love we are sowing and what a harvest will be produced of thanksgiving to God, who freely gives but relies on us to share. So we love our neighbours near and far by sharing the harvest. Let us look now at the teaching of Jesus as recorded in Matthew 6. These words put love of God at the forefront of our thinking. Jesus faces us with choices. Is it God or money whom we serve? Is it worry or trust which guides our lives? The secret of making the right choice is our treasure, what we treasure in our hearts, what we hang on to, whatever we experience, because it means the world to us. I'm taken back to Mary, the mother of Jesus, who, faced with her unique calling and the events she witnessed at his birth, treasured all these memories in her heart. She did not strain to understand everything or look ahead and worry about the future. No, instead, she treasured all the words and actions of God. That is the key, Jesus says. If our trust is in goods and possessions, they will rot and decay. And if we make money our main aim, we despise God. Instead, the invitation is to make God our choice and his word our treasure, like Mary. It is a place of light as opposed to darkness. Harvest can also be tinged with sadness. Many of our hymns speak of the harvest of people as we come to the end of life. Jesus tells us that we are valued by our Heavenly Father. He treasures us. He treasures those who have died before us. We are in his hands, and by worrying cannot add a single hour to our life. Trust in his love. This is all part of the wonderful picture of life in the kingdom, where our treasure is. Free from worry, we can trust the Heavenly Father, who knows our need before we ask. Of all the saints who lived this life, I think St. Francis is our best loved example. He heard the word of Christ for himself in the little crumbling chapel of San Damiano and immediately wanted to be in the kingdom and serve in the kingdom. He lived a life of abandonment to God, actually stripping himself of all his fine clothes and family wealth. He certainly renounced wealth. Then he lived a life of trust in God and in submission and obedience to the church. He found he never lacked, and his real needs were always supplied. His love of birds and flowers, which Jesus tells us to consider in our walk with God, is legendary. He exhibited all the five marks of mission: telling, teaching, tending, transforming, because he had his treasure in the right place and sought the kingdom of God. You might say Francis lived in the Middle Ages, a different world, and I would agree. What does not change is the human heart, and we each have a responsibility for our own heart. People like Mary and Francis give us wonderful examples and great encouragement, but in the end, it's up to each of us. As the book of Proverbs says, above all, guard your heart, because it is the wellspring of life. And God says to each of us, give me your heart. What I have found time and time again is that thanksgiving opens, refreshes, and revives the heart. It is a wonderful power given to us by God and centered on him. I learnt it after chapter meetings when decisions were made which were not quite the ones I would have liked. But going outside, I was able to thank God that the grass was still green. Thanksgiving can be as basic as that. It means our Heavenly Father looks after us and cares for us, so that we in turn can look after and care for others. It is one of the secrets of the Kingdom of Heaven. And so we have come together to give thanks for apples, pears, potatoes, potted meat and cabbages, all wonderful things. We may be looking forward to apple pies, vegetable stews and our Sunday lunch. God the Father is saying, as you open your hearts in thanksgiving, I am giving you something even more wonderful, the secrets of the Kingdom of Heaven. He says, as you seek my kingdom and its righteousness first, you will have an abundance of life and an ability to deal with life. The power will be the power that comes from him who loves and cares for us, and especially for those who abandon and trust in their Heavenly Father. God has a mission of love, to bring in a harvest of people who know, love, and serve him. Our mission here and now as his people is to cooperate with him. He will do his part, in many ways often hidden from our sight, and revealed sometimes as we look back on the past. We can be assured that we, the body of Christ, as we walk in the light of his love, he will enable us to tell, teach, tend, transform, because of his power at work in us. This truth is the treasure we have, hold and share to his honour and glory. Let us pray. Let us praise the Lord of the harvest. Amen.